come before thee in this evening. With thy word before us, O Lord, we have assembled together, and we, before we would open the word, we bring our thoughts together in prayer unto thee that thou would visit us and be with us as we would meditate upon thy word and prepare our hearts and open our hearts, O Lord, to thy word, and teach us thy ways and bring us into a closer walk with thee, that we would serve thee and be an honor and a glory unto thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was, for the reading for this evening, with God's help, a desire to read from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter number 3. Daniel, chapter number 3. Ljubaznjelim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz proroka Danilove, treća glava. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their heads singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, all of us who have come together in this evening, we prayed that those who do not know the Lord and this evening would come to know him. And when we read this account of what had taken place, we can see what the cost is of those who do serve a living God. What Jesus tells us all who come to him, count the cost. Count what it will cost you. It could cost you your life. It could cost you everything you have. Am I worth that cost? So Jesus himself tells us to consider what it will cost us before we step into a covenant with him, lest we forsake him, lest we leave him in the face of trials, temptations, burning furnaces, such as we've read here, and so on. We read this account, and I think as we read it, dear ones, the picture is so beautifully written and given to us that it's like we're reading what had just taken place yesterday. And if this happened yesterday, we would all be more attentive to what had just taken place. We would be more in tune with it. I know we would, all of us. It'd be something newsworthy. But why is it that it happened thousands of years ago that it can somehow skip over our thoughts, our feelings, where it doesn't bring us into the spiritual realm of what we have read and what had taken place and the power of the Spirit of God and how he had operated in these men? But dear ones, the word is written for us to read, to learn, to apply to our hearts, our lives, and to bring about with us, within us, a unity, a closeness, as we have also prayed, of a communion with our Lord who wants to talk to us and be with us and so on. So we read of these three men, which I believe that the reading of what had taken place really doesn't need any explanation. It's very vivid. It's very clear. We all have understood this chapter from our young days, those of us who were fortunate enough to be raised in a house that reads the Word and brings us to church. And we'd like to just touch upon a couple of points in this chapter, what we have read, of three men who have been given, and we have to consider that these men were called to come and to bow down before an image that was created that is just tremendous when you look at it. This translates to about 100-foot tall statue, if it's correct. Regardless, it's massive. It's huge. Solid gold. Nebuchadnezzar was so full of himself, he wanted to create an image that he would be remembered by and known by. And he was so he was so wealthy, and he had seen so much in his pillaging of other countries and the gold that he had amassed, that he decided to build this. And he wanted to build it and to have all of his provinces and all those who were under his rule to bow down before this image that he has created. And so he makes the decree is made, and as we see here, that three men who had given their heart to the Lord resolved in their heart very easily not to bow down before this. Now, we would look at this and we could look at this and say, could these men not have simply attended this gathering? Could they have feigned sickness, knowing that they don't want to? And so in some way try to escape being seen or being placed in a position where they're going to have to show their faith that they don't. But if they're in their thoughts wrestling with this, should we go? Well, their faith is already weakened and they'll never make it. They simply went to the front as they were high up in the province, rulers, and their boss, the one who had promoted them, was Nebuchadnezzar. Their ruler, their master, was the one who had promoted them. They know now if they're going to seek more promotion, and we're going to say, well, why would they want more promotion? No, we got to consider these men are living their lives like we live our lives. They're living day to day. And they were promoted into these positions by the king, who is their ruler, who is their boss, if we could put it into our day and time. And so if they were going to receive any more promotions or any good favor, they needed to obey him. And they didn't consider what it would cost them. Or they didn't regard what it would cost them in the sense that it would alter their faith or their resolve or their belief in what they knew that they could not do. There's no part of them that could even consider to do what they were being commanded to do. Not asked, commanded. If you don't, there's a fire here. It's burning. It's a fiery furnace. It consumes you. And so they simply went. They went. And they didn't bow down. They didn't bow down. What is today? You know, and I believe, dear ones, that we actually today live these situations out. We really do. We don't go into a fiery furnace. But dear ones, we have before us this image. And it might be an image of whatever it is in your life or mine that we fall down before. And we'll say, well, come on, I don't fall down before anything. It's that which will, as we heard this past Sunday morning, those things which separate us from God, the things that take us away from His, from being near to Him. What are those things? Those are the things that we worship. That's sin. That's this golden image that is before us every day. And we are being asked by Satan to bow down before these things. And we're going to hear the world's music playing. And are we going to listen to the world's music as it plays? And all this is coming together for us to, it's luring us, tempting us, drawing us to go. Please yourself. Feel good. Do it. Feel empowered. Feel strong. Feel above someone. Do this thing. Whatever it might be. Fall down. Worship. You think Satan doesn't do that to us? You think this isn't taking place in our lives, what happened here? It happens every day. We're being asked to worship. That which takes us away from God. And so they simply would not fall down. And Nebuchadnezzar says he is in a rage. And he commands them to be brought forth. And he says, is it true? Is it true? Think of what he's asking here. He can't believe what just took place. What he heard, that can't be possible. Is it true? He asked them. And he tells them again, he's going to give them another chance. You know, get your thoughts together here, young men. You don't know who you're dealing with. And they said, we're not careful to answer. We're not going to think about this. We're not going to consider, oh, what if the Lord doesn't save me? We're not going to be careful to answer. Because if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. And He will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Our Lord in the wilderness, He went through the fiery furnace of temptation. And He came out unscathed. He didn't give in anything. Dear ones, Satan has the fiery furnace of temptation for all of us. Do we yield to that? Because when we do, what we've done is we have bowed down before His golden image. Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. We can't, you know, when we look at this, we will say, it's not really applicable today. And, you know, maybe someday I might be persecuted and so on. And, you know, I just hope and pray that in that day I'm going to be able to be faithful. I think I will be, but I'm just going to pray that I can be and so on. No, we go through this every day. Am I faithful today? Am I faithful today? Is today when I'm being asked to bow down before my idols, myself, my glory, whatever it might be, to show it forth in any which way? And, you know, we all know what we go through in our everyday life. And so we can all fill in these blanks of what it is. And so Nebuchadnezzar, now full of fury, it says that he commands that the furnace is heated up seven times more. And he casts them into the fire. And then it says, suddenly the king rises up in haste. What's going on here? Gathers his counselors. Says, did we cast three men? Were they not bound? Were they not bound, tied up? They can't do anything. And throw him in the midst of a fire. They said, yeah, king, it's true. It's true. He said, I see four men. Loose. They're not bound. They're loose. And they're walking in the middle of the fire, and they have no hurt. And there's someone else with them, and he looks to me like he is the Son of God. What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lose when they went into this fire? They lost something. They lost their bonds. That's all they lost. Isn't that the same with us, dear ones? When we come to Christ, when we persevere through temptations, the fears and all those things fall away from us. As we come closer to when our Lord is with us walking, the fourth is like the Son of God. Our bonds are loosed. The bonds of fear and anxiety and all these things have to go away when we are with our Lord. Think of these men, what they were experiencing. I would look at this and say, we can read the Acts of the Apostles, and we can read in the Gospels of Peter, who is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Tell me, my dear brother and sister, when we read these things, do we not, in our own thoughts, think sometimes, wow, I would have loved to have been there. Look at what Peter saw. He was there. He saw the transfiguration of Christ. He saw Moses, and it's such a beautiful story, and we want to experience that. But do you ever think of Paul and Silas in the stocks, bound, ready to give their life the next day? Do I ever say, wow, I want to experience that? I'll tell you, I never have. But in those stocks, we see Paul and Silas, as they're bound, they're freed. They're singing. They have their liberty in Christ. Those bonds that were holding the chains and whatever they were chained up in and bruised and battered and beaten, bleeding. They're singing. I want to be there. Dear ones, I want to experience that. Do I say that? Yeah, I want that without the chains, without the suffering. Because I think too much about me. Right? Who wants that? But yet this is where we experience the Lord. They're singing, praising God. We see that the apostles beaten and commanded, don't preach anymore in his name. Singing, saying, who are you that we're going to listen to you? We have a command from our master, from our Lord, from our King. And he tells us, be a lover of men. Love them, love their souls. Preach freedom in Christ to them. Free them from the bondage of sin and slavery that they are in. Preach Jesus Christ to them, crucified. This is their life. Is that my life? Am I afraid of it? I'm not going to get promotions, advancements? If I show weakness in some way where I serve a God who is not seen, who I believe in, who I will die for, am I afraid that I may not advance quite so good? Do I have to lie a little bit in order to make a little bit of more money? Well, who am I serving then? God tells us you can't serve God and mammon. You can't. Try it. I'm telling you, you can't do it. You're going to love one. Love one. And the other one is cast aside. The fire had nothing over them. No hurt. They were walking around freely. There are ones when many were martyred. Many had gone through these trials. God was with them too. God was with them too. Let's not think only. And these three men knew that. They said, our God is able to. He can make this fire be of no effect on us. And he will, it says, deliver us out of your hand. You have no power over us. He will deliver us out of your hand. He goes, but we will not bow down before your idols, before your and worship your golden images. And so when we go through trials, we can't say that if I'm going through a trial, that through this trial, I will be delivered in the flesh. That's not, these men recognized that that might not happen. But they knew they would be delivered because they know, see, what we have to do always is consider. What is the principle? The principle to these men was so great that there was nothing that they could consider that would be worth holding on to give up on this principle that they believed in. So they were ready to give everything up, their life and everything they had. They would give up everything with it. When you give up your life, you give up everything you have. And so everything was worth giving up. I know I mentioned it many times, and it's another beautiful account of a martyr who was delivered, though he gave his life. He was delivered, and we have an account, a true account of it in the scripture that says that he saw Jesus, Stephen. He saw him. That's deliverance. That's deliverance. That's walking unbound in the midst of a fire. That's deliverance. When you can rejoice in your heart and spirit and soul, knowing that you are being translated from this life into an eternity with your Lord whom you now see. He was delivered. But he saw death. These men saw death too, eventually. They died. Now, let's consider, if they would have died here now, they go on to live into eternity. They pass on into eternity with their Lord. But they didn't die now. But they didn't lose their Lord. They still had him as they stayed faithful unto him. And then when they died, they went on to the reward. But if they would have showed weakness, or revealed that the principle is not worth giving up everything for, they still would have died. Except, maybe it wouldn't have been in the fire. Maybe they would have lasted another week, another day. Maybe 50 more years. Doesn't matter. They're still going to die. And then, eternity. So, we, not knowing anything about our lives, often think too much about them. Well, what about this? What about this? We think too much of that which we know nothing about. But that which we know, which is revealed to us in the scripture, that which we know, do we lightly hold on to its truths? Do we lightly hold on to those things that should be everything to us? Is the Lord our God, Lord over all in my life? that I would never dare bow down before any image, any temptation that Satan would give me. That's an image. Any temptation, he's taking me through the fire. He's taking me through the fiery furnace. Am I going to be loosed? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to speak directly to all of us right now, because we could experience this. Our friends couldn't have. But we've all been tempted. And we've had victories and we've had defeats. And we know how we feel. We know how we feel when, with God's help, we have yielded, when we have done what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have done. We know the feeling that overwhelms our souls, that we were found faithful. And we know the bitterness that Peter felt when he wandered through the streets of Jerusalem, knowing that he had forsaken his Lord. We know that too. But our Lord is gracious and merciful, and he loves us, and he says, come back to me. Come back to me. Repent. Make the principle worth everything in your life. Don't give in to the enemy of your soul, the one who wants to keep you bound. I will loose you. You will go through that trial. I will loose you. I will give you the rejoicing in your heart that the loss of everything in this life can never replace. I'll give you the joy that this world, there's nothing in this world that could replace the joy that I will give you when you're faithful to me. There's nothing that these men could have received from the king what they received from the Lord. He was in the fire with them. Our Lord will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Never. It's a promise. Dear ones, eternity is heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell. It's not an annihilation. No, those are dreams. Those are dreams. That's a figment of a man's imagination, that there's an annihilation that takes place. Dear ones, it's hopelessness, and it's eternal. It's forever. It's hopelessness. There's no hope. What is life like with no hope? Now, what is an eternity like with no hope? It's a fire that the Lord describes as one that is never quenched. It burns forever. It consumes. But it goes on and on and on. And then there's heaven. And the question for all of us that we have is, are the idols, are these things, is this image worth bowing down to? Is it worth that temptation that I am being tempted? Is it worth it to go through an eternity of suffering, separation from God, for what? For this moment? A moment of what? What? There's not even satisfaction in that. For a moment. And then I want more. The flesh is never going to say, okay, that's enough sin. No more. Enough. It's never going to say that. It's going to say more, more, and more. And so we have to come back to the principle. Christ our Lord, who has done everything to give us an escape, a hope from this eternity without him, who's given his life for us, who gives us the strength, who gives us a way, who comes into the fire with us. He was here with them. He was there with Paul and Silas in the stock. He was there with Stephen. He's there with all the saints. He's there with every brother and sister who dies in the Lord. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, Lord. Through the death, you are with me. I'm not going to fear. What's there to fear when he is with me? He shows us he's always going to be with us. The question is, who do we love? You can't serve both, he says. If you love me, you will forsake everything. The world's music, you'll turn a deaf ear to. They can't hype it up. They can't hype it up to a point where it's so alluring. No, when your heart is right with God, nothing is alluring. Nothing will take you away. And so we have to ask ourselves, where is my heart? Where is my heart? Is it with these three men where their hearts were? With the Lord. This is a real story. Let's read it as the news of today. Because it doesn't matter if it happened. God never changes. He empowers us as he empowered them. The question is just for us. Do we love the Lord, our God? Do we serve him? Not because of fear. Not because of a fear of, oh no, I don't want to. You know, these men didn't say, well, you know, what's going to happen? What if we don't? What if we do? What if this? What? He said, no. No. When the temptation comes, when you want to assert yourself and show yourself, when you want to this, no. No, that's not my Lord. I didn't learn that from him. I learned that from myself. I didn't learn that from him. Yield. Pray. As we open this hymn of coming to the Lord, the service with the hymn of coming to the Lord in prayer, he answers. He's there for us. The question is, do we want him? Brothers and sisters and my dear friends, you know, you're being asked today also. The same question as these men were asked all these years ago. You're being asked today to bow down before the idols of today. And you know what? When you leave here and you continue, you're bowing down to those things, believing that you will not die tomorrow. And brothers and sisters, we're in the same position. If we go through another day and we continue to bow down and worship the images that Satan will put before us, we think that we're going to be here tomorrow. And tomorrow, I'll be better. Tomorrow, I'll repent. That just simply should just tell us, I don't love my Lord. That's what it should tell us. I don't love him. Though I claim I do, I don't. May the Lord be with us in our moments of, because the word always has to bring us to a self-examination. It has to. If it doesn't, then we aren't reading it properly. If the word doesn't bring us to see who am I before my God, then we are reading it with the wrong intentions. So may God, in those moments, as we read his word, as we look into our lives, may we listen to his voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, who will always point us to Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Word of God gives us a couple truths. One of the truths is all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a truth. The Bible says so. But the other truth is that Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, he as that power, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So yes, there will be persecution if we live godly, but Jesus is with us, and he has all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus gives us peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The hearts of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not afraid. They had peace. They knew that the Lord was with them. And Jesus also said that his joy can be in us, and his joy is full, and his joy no man taketh away from you. So yes, there will be persecution, but Jesus, who has all power in heaven and earth, is with us even until the end of the world. And he gives us his peace that no man can take away, and he gives us his joy that no man can take away from us either. So as we go through life and we're presented with these persecutions or these temptations that are very strong to serve self, let's remember that with Jesus is all power, and only through him can we have peace and joy. Amen.